You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL legends live on, with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lasseri. Available on TuneIn and Podbean. Now, back to Chris and Bob.
Just listen.
And now back and making his record 18th appearance with us on Thursday Night Tailgate is our good friend, former Rams Pro Bowl quarterback in TNT, another TNT Hall of Famer, Jim Everett. Let me remind you about Jimmy's background. He's from Emporia, Kansas, which is in between Wichita and Topeka, southwest of Kansas City. He led El Dorado High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico to the state championship in 1980. Played both quarterback and safety. Played his college ball at Purdue, where he is the only quarterback in Purdue history to lead them to wins over Michigan, Notre Dame, and Ohio State in the same season. 1985, he led the NCAA in total offense with just under 3,600 yards, which was also a school record at the time, since broken by Drew Brees. His senior year, he was awarded the Big Ten Medal of Honor in recognition of his athletic and academic achievements. He was a first-round draft pick, the number 3 overall selection by the Houston Oilers, which most people don't remember. He was traded to the Rams in exchange for two guys that we've also been blessed to have here on the show, in Kent Hill and William Fuller. 2007, he was inducted into the Peach Bowl Hall of Fame. 2015, he was inducted into our Hall of Fame. And yesterday was Jimmy's birthday. So happy birthday, big boy. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Jim.
Chris. Bob. Hey, good to be here. What an introduction, guys. That's impressive. I didn't know half those stats. But hey, I felt like the George Blanda of the TNT Hall of Fame being on here so many times, and I love it. Love it. You guys have a great program. You're positive. You keep things rolling. And you know what I've done? I've done something special tonight. I reached out to someone that I think – needs to be recognized. Let me hear it. Do I hear a whisper out there?
Who could that be, Jim?
Let me hear. Hear again. Who could it be?
Yo.
Who's that?
Yo.
Who is this?
What are you doing on the show? Crying out loud. Angelo Kane, ladies and gentlemen, our former guest, our former co-host on the show. Mr. Kane, how are you tonight?
I'm hanging in there. I'm coming off the IR, as you know. I was battling a little sore throat, but pulled it together just in time to join Jimmy and you and Bob and get this show wrapped up in the proper way.
Ah, indeed you are.
Hey, so, this is a surprise to Chris and Bob. I brought Angela on my line. Angela came on with my line, so I brought my own host. And just, guys, just to let you know, we're taking over the show. We're going to be talking Rams. We're going to be talking Buffalo. So I don't know what you, Chris and Bob, are going to be talking about. I know what we're going to be talking about, right, Ann?
I've got to go shovel snow.
We are circling the wagons, man. Rams, Bills, Super Bowl.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I'm going to ask you a question first. How the heck did we get the Bills in the playoffs? How'd that work? What do they got going on?
I'll tell you. One word. Ginger.
Ginger?
We got our – yeah, the ginger got us in. Mr. Dalton
himself. Is that right?
He threw that touchdown pass for the Bengals, and, you know, we lucked out. We backed into the playoffs, and I believe we are putting up – Andrew Dalton on the Andy Dalton on our Wall of Fame too for that breaking our curse, and it's well deserved.
Hey, not only did Andy Dalton save the jobs of a bunch of people in Buffalo, he saved a bunch of jobs of those guys in Cincinnati. So Andy Dalton's like a superhero right now.
Oh, please don't even get me started on Lewis getting an extension. Oh my God.
Hey, but in Buffalo, we got to go back. Buffalo, they were expected to have a down season. All this stuff happens, and then boom, all of a sudden they win all those games, and then they try to throw it with this rookie quarterback experiment, this Peter experiment. Some people call it – I'm going to be nice and just call it a Peter experiment. But, you know, and then all of a sudden they go back to Tyrod and they win more games. I mean, go figure. Buffalo back in. Anyway, they're in. Congratulations, and.
I appreciate it. The curse is over. We are going to be annual playoff contenders now.
Yeah, okay. Let's not
Very
get
good.
Carried away. So let's take that, let's
that
take that point,
like
though, Ange.
Football?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the Bills got in the playoffs like Ange gets in the Fantasy Football League playoffs. He backs in. He needs a series of losses by other teams to get himself in. But you know what? Hey, whatever works, works. But to that end, Ange,
that's
and Jimmy,
right.
Please feel free, when you look at the Bills going to the Jags, it seems like, to me, a winnable game, right? Blake Bortles isn't outstanding.
Exactly.
Tyrod doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
Right.
It seems like the game really, Ange, boils down to, you know, your boy's ankle. You know, if Shady can play,
yes.
I think they got a shot. Without Shady, I don't think they got much of a shot.
Right.
But if he plays, I think they're good.
Right.
Your
well,
thoughts?
Yeah, we are definitely looking at ankle bowl because if he's not in there, we put in Mr. Tolbert, who used to be a stud in the NFL with the Panthers and the Chargers way back when. And ever since the last handful of years, I mean, he just disappeared. So I was excited when we picked him up, but then he's just been kind of quiet and they don't really give him a whole lot of opportunities. And when they do, he doesn't really do much with it. And then we also have some guy named Marcus Murphy who may or may not have been working at H.H. Gregg or UPS or somewhere because I don't know who this guy is. But
bagging groceries?
And some guy nice. Off the practice squad too, Aaron Green. So, yes, we are looking at the ankle. This was like just how it was with Gronkowski and his what was it, his ankle? Did he have an ankle thing? Was there an ankle game with him?
God knows he's had an ankle, the back, a shoulder, an elbow. That guy's
right.
Got...
Right. So, yeah, we're looking at ankle bowl right here, right now.
I think we can both test. I'll only speak up about this, Jim, talking about the Jags and Buffalo. I think they're both solid defenses. I mean, you really have good defenses. The question marks are on offense. Is Buffalo healthy enough? Are they going to be healthy enough, quick enough? Because against that Jag defense, it's really good. And on the other side, does Blake Bortles, you know, put the gun to his head? That's the deal over there. Can Blake play in the playoffs? That's going to be the big question. Because if he can, then there's something going on with the Jags. If he can't, then, you know, I think they've got some serious questions and we'll consider a guy like Eli Manning next year. I really do.
So, Jim, let's move over to your boys with the Rams, right? You know, their first playoff appearance since 08. They're going to meet the Falcons Saturday night at home. What do the Rams have to do to beat the defending NFC champs?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things we got to do. That Atlanta team's pretty excited. The first thing I think is advantage is you get Atlanta out of their dome. That's the key part because they are so quick and they react so well. Atlanta this year, the reason why they're in the position, the wild card position, is you know they've had some injury. They're back to healthy, but they've kind of shot themselves in the foot here and there. And I think it comes down to a team that you know can they keep Matty Ice. Keep Aaron Donald, can keep Aaron Donald Bay. I don't think anyone could do that, but they can they keep Matty Ice up? I mean, every quarterback that leaves after playing this defensive line leaves black and blue. I mean, these guys are tough over here. So I don't know what Atlanta has to do to win. I just know that if the Rams play their type of football, if they play all three facets of the game, probably as well as anyone that's playing it between special teams, defense, and offense all combined, I think they'll be just fine, but they can't play killer ball themselves and fumble or any of those types of things. That when you get to playoffs, the margin of error gets smaller, and so I mean I think they got a good chance, but it's not going to be a cakewalk at all.
And Jim, to your point a moment ago, you've been singing the praises of Aaron Donald for the last couple of years. Guy had 11 sacks this year. He forced 5 fumbles. To me, it almost seems like, you know, to just take what the point you made a moment ago a step further, for the Falcons, the key to winning the game or having a chance in this game might be containing Aaron Donald. If you can keep him under control, you might have an opportunity to at least, you know, keep pace with the Rams. And then, you know, you get into a late end of fourth quarter, you never know what could happen. But to me, that's the key to the game.
I think you're right. There's some part to the point of they have to be in a position of the game where they're running the ball at Aaron Donald in the third and fourth period. If they're in a position where they have to throw the ball in the third and fourth quarter, it's not going to be good for them. So the Rams have been throwing up some 40-point games, you know, and that throws the whole offense into a one-dimensional pass offense. and it's killer for the quarterback. But if they can be, they keep that run game and their little screens and all those types of things going that Atlanta does, and be close in the third and fourth, then I think it'll be one heck of a thing. And Aaron Donald won't be, you know, just teeing off on Matty Ice.
And Jim, if you know, let's look ahead into the future just a little bit. If the Rams were to win this game and move on, the offenses standing in their way from that point are going to be led by two former Ram quarterbacks, right? You got Case Keenum in Minnesota, and you've got, you know, Nick Foles taking over with the Eagles. And Nick Foles was dreadful, oh, by the way, against the Cowboys this past weekend. But, you know, not taking anything away from Case Keenum. But looking at facing either one of those guys really doesn't put a lot of fear in you about these. They're going to pass you, you know, they're going to kill you through the air. What are your thoughts if the Rams make it past the Falcons and go on to play either one of these two teams, you know, whether it's the Vikings or the Eagles?
Well, I think that, number one, that's the playoffs are going to be going through Minnesota eventually. But, you know, it could be through Philadelphia as well. But I don't know. Both of them, I think the Rams want a shot of both of them. I know they're hungry after talking to the guys. They're hungry for another shot at those Vikings, wherever it might be, whatever time it might be. I'm not trying to take the player and, you know, as far as saying Case Keenum or this or that. I think Case Keenum, I like Case Keenum. Always liked him. He's a good human. He's helpful. I don't care what the situation was, even last year when he was with Jared Goff. I mean, he's just an outstanding person. It's nice to see a guy like that get some of the kudos. Because, I mean, even after he had won three or four or five, whatever, Minnesota, like, well, are they going to replace him with Bridgewater? You know, it was like, he gets no respect. He's like Rodney Dangerfield in there. But good guy. It's good to see. But I think if you look at Minnesota's defense, you got all three levels. That defensive line, the linebackers, the secondary, probably one of the toughest in the NFL. I think they want to, if we get by Atlanta here, and this will be a tough game. That's A number one. I think they want their chops on Minnesota. I'm not saying that Eagles aren't there or anything like that, because that's going to be a tough game too, but I'm just saying I think they want that rematch.
Bob, questions you want to throw out to Jim or our boy Ange?
Well, first, Angelo, one thing I have to ask Angelo, how come he doesn't come visit Buffalo in December and January? That's all I want to know.
That doesn't even deserve an answer, Bob. It doesn't even deserve an answer. I did my time. I shoveled 18 years, man. What are you still doing up there is the question.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, no, you did your time. You do a couple years of peer, you deserve it there. But
now,
Jim,
Angelo, let's tell the folks, Bob. I mean, let's get some background here. And you're living down in Florida right now, right?
Yes, and it's freezing down here. I had my big coat on today. I've had the heat cranking for about a week now. So,
oh, you're spoiled.
I can't get away from it.
Define cold, Ange. Define cold.
What? All right, so right now it is dipping
55?
In the low 30s. I mean, it's freezing. No, like low 30s right now and about 50 during the day. You know, that's a 30 to 35 degree difference than what I'm used to.
Well, I'll tell you what, even in that weather, Angelo, you're inside painting, because I have on Facebook, I have seen some of the artwork that you're doing. It's outstanding. So your second career after your hosting career and moving on from Chris, which I didn't know how that was going to be. It was gonna, you know, you guys have made it. You've both grown up and been big boys. But, Ange, your artwork is unbelievable.
I appreciate that, Jim. See, on those cold days, I'm here in the studio. I'm painting, looking out the window. You know, it all works out.
You got a fan over here on the wrong coast,
Jim.
I'll tell you that.
It's always good to talk to Jim, but think about this time of year. I could say happy birthday. I could say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, I could say everything. So all of those things, Jim, I hope you have a great new year. And I want to get back to Jared Goff. You had mentioned him, and he had a great year. He had a great touchdown interception ratio, Jim. What have you seen from him as far as what he might need to improve on, depending on where they go this year? I mean, the guy seems like he has it all. I saw him play against Wentz that game, and it seemed like Wentz at this point is still a bit – I think he's a better quarterback right now. But how can Goff improve at all?
Well, let's put it this way. Hey, let's go back to the Wentz – and golf comparison, because that's going to go on their entire life, right? I mean,
right,
they
right.
both were drafted together, one, two, who, which one was right, who was wrong. But you got to realize, Wentz has been playing in the same system for his second year now. I would totally anticipate that he would have that offense, you know, down pat. More than golf, this is his first year in this offense. That first year was some sort of, you know, whatever you want to call it, as Todd Gurley called it, middle grade offense, middle school offense. But so, I mean, he's with Sean McVay. And I'm telling you, this guy is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Talk to him in person. And Olsen and LaFleur working with golf have made tremendous strides to make sure golf could handle, well, what is he throwing, 7 interceptions all year?
Yeah.
And this is the first year in this offense? That's incredible. That speaks right. That's, that itself speaks there. Also, I want to let you know, just so I don't forget this part, I played 3 years down in New Orleans Saints, down in New Orleans, and I love that city. And it's, you know what's kind of neat is not only seeing the Purdue Boilermakers win a bowl game, you see, you know, the Rams win the division out here in the West, but then also see the Saints win the South. I mean, with my boy Drew Brees, and so a lot of credit. And they're running a run offense in New Orleans. So go figure. You know, you think Drew Brees, you think throw, you think air it out. But it's like, wait a minute. I'll tell you what, those two running backs may be the best 1-2 combo in the NFL. So, I mean, they're going to be something to reckon with, and that Carolina-New Orleans game is going to be something else, because kind of like Carolina, too. So my, you know, roots go to New Orleans. I'm rooting for them.
Mm-hmm. And, Jim, more about McVay as far as Gurley is concerned. Gurley had the great rookie year. Then last year, you know, stock down a little bit. He was only averaging 3 yards a carry. And this year, he may be the MVP. And I don't know if anybody could have thought he would be this good. Does that have a lot to do with McVay, you believe?
Oh, it has everything to do with Sean McVay. I think when you run the ball, it's all 11 guys. And for, you know, you look back in the past year and maybe you had 7 guys complete their assignment and 4 guys aren't. Well, you're not going to get a yard. You're not going to get, you know, you're going to average under 2 yards per carry because he's getting hit and have to earn another yard and a half. You know, you want to be able to pick up 6 or 7, get hit, or 3 or 4 get hit, and then pick up another 2, 3. And that's Gurley's game. I mean, I was listening to the announcers on TV, and he is the combination of a Clydesdale and a cheetah. I swear to God, what a fun running back to do. Yeah, does this have a lot to do with McVay? Yeah, because look how many receptions he's having, as well as just handing the ball off. You don't see that happening down in Jacksonville with Fournette. You don't see it with a lot of running backs, maybe Ezekiel Elliott, maybe Le'Veon Bell, but I mean, to be able to come out of the backfield and not only catch the ball, I mean, they didn't do that at Georgia. There was a question. Matter of fact, that was a question mark on Eric Dickerson for years. And the great ones to be able to go out and catch the ball, and, you know, he's got, what, 2,000 multi-purpose yards? I don't – if there's not an MVP in Todd Gurley, I don't know who is, because this guy has been off the charts. And, of course, it's give the credit to McVay and that whole offensive line and the guys out there. The guys that are really blocking as well – as receivers, there's a rookie named Cooper Kupp, most receiving yards by a rookie, most receptions, whatever. But this dude is blocking defensive ends. Number 18, a rookie. He's putting his nose in and doing, and Woods and Watkins, they're all blocking. Now, I don't know why Woods and Watkins wasn't doing that maybe in Buffalo for you, Ange, but whatever, they're working here in L.A.
Everybody loves to go to SoCal. That's all I can say, man. You know, they want it out, and the grass is definitely greener in the desert. Oh, wait, grass doesn't grow out there.
No, we just roll it out in turf, dude.
Exactly. Well, they love that stuff.
So, Jimmy, you got a couple of young quarterbacks.
Stay away.
Jimmy, you got a couple of young quarterbacks out there that have just decided to turn pro, and UCLA's Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold over there at USC. Curious to get your thoughts on both of these kids.
I think they're both top quarterbacks. I mean, there's no doubt. I think that the decision to come out or not come out, you know, that's up to them and their families and those decisions. I mean, I saw a time when Sam Bradford didn't come out when I thought he should come out. You know, so, you know, those are the right decisions they have to make for their lives. I think they're good quarterbacks. This is a quarterback-hungry league. And I think, you know, I'm looking at those guys and maybe a couple other guys that could go in the top 10. I think, you know, it just shows that, you know, you have to have a quarterback that can get the ball. We're talking about Kansas City Mahomes. He's a player. I mean, these guys out coming out are athletic. They're dynamic. Do they need to be coached up? I think you look at what the Rams did last year. I think the value of the offensive coordinator has just blown up, you know, just to exponentially. You need a head coach that can attract offensive talent. I'm not saying defense is out, but if you're not creative and you don't have a guy that you know that's going to be there year in, year out, look at the Patriots. They've been running the same offense. I go back to Joe Montana running the West Coast offense. You get a system that works. You're plug-and-play people. I don't care if it's Joe Montana, you plug-and-play. You put in Steve Young, you plug-and-play. But you got a system that you know that works. And when Brady left, you know, it'll be somebody else. We all thought it was Jimmy G. But anyway, those are the successful systems. But you have to have those in place. Because I guarantee once you're successful, well, like the Rams are going to be successful, you're going to probably see some of their offensive head coaches get taken away for other positions, be coordinators, be whatever. There's talk about all the different, you know, stuff going around the NFL. But once you're good, you got to keep your brain set in your plan. They can't walk out the door like they did with Jeff Fisher.
So, Ange, as you look ahead to the draft, is that where the Bills got to go? Got to get a quarterback?
Yeah, every year since Jim Kelly. We're still looking.
Is that
I mean,
it?
You know, Tyrod had his great days, and then he was down in the dumps. I don't know if this whole Peterman experiment lit a fire under him, but it doesn't look like the signs are that we're not going to have him next year. But then again, we didn't think we were going to have him re-signed a little while ago, and then we did keep him. You just never know. But, yeah, I mean, at some point we have to find that franchise guy that's going to be here a decade and bring some stability there. And, you know, I look
you
at
gotta
one
draft one
draft,
or you go,
you
know. Or would you pick somebody in with a free
no.
agent? Would a Kirk Cousins fit in Buffalo?
He's the one that I wanted originally when we were looking at the whole Tyrod thing and whether he was staying or going. And I thought he would have been sharp. He's been inconsistent in Washington, but, you know, just like Jim is saying, you just don't know if it's a system or not. I mean, you bring in a guy like McVay and the Rams go from worst to first in offense. So, you know, but in the end, I think they are still going to be out there looking for a QB in the draft. They'll probably go get one. We got a nice amount of draft picks to work with now. So I think they're going to go pick one. But again, we're still waiting for that next franchise guy. So
Andy Dalton is going to be a free agent. Now that he's a cult hero in Buffalo, you bring in Andy Dalton?
I think we just used up his last good play.
Hey, don't be busting on the Red Rider. Come on, this is a positive show, Ange.
Spotlight on the positive. Hey, I said he was going to be on
exactly
the wall.
Exactly right.
That's about as positive as you can get. Oh, man. No, we can't bring the ginger in. Come on. He's been out there for a while in Cincy. He's had his shot. He's had the talent around him, and, you know, I don't want to jump on that retread, man. It's just we got to find our own new guy.
Hey, I'll still advocate. You have to have the system in place to know what kind of guy you need to run it. That's what I'll say.
True.
Otherwise, you're just picking guys. And, you know, you could pick a bunch of dogs or a bunch of cats or whatever you're picking. But if all you have is dog bones to feed, picking the cats won't do anything for you. You've got to know what you're picking. And that's what McVay brought to the Rams. They knew exactly what they wanted. They needed a tackle. They needed a Sullivan. They needed, you know, receivers. And he knew exactly what he wanted. And that is Bill Walsh-like. And I'm not trying to say that's Hall of Fame to a 31-year-old head coach. But that's the foresight that needs to happen that doesn't happen every year. There's a gap between the personnel department, the coaching department, and the general manager department. When those gaps close have a communicator like Sean McVay has been, then you start getting things rolling.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, now, before we let you two guys go, I got to get your Super Bowl picks. Tell me who's playing in February in the big game. Jimmy?
Rams are beating Patriots. What are you talking about? I'm sorry, Ant. I didn't mean to dog your Buffalo. I think they'll go, but I don't know. It's time for a change of guard over there.
Oh, well, Ant? No kidding. I mean, until proven otherwise, I'm going to say New England, and I'm going to go New Orleans.
All right. Bob, let's weigh in. What do you think?
We got to make our picks already, Chris. Didn't we make our picks?
I know, right? He's skipping over all these playoff games. You got to go right to the big game.
I'll go, right now, you only go this what we're seeing this week. I'm going to say New England plays Minnesota. How's that?
All right. And, Jimmy, I think this is
Chris,
a repeat of the Super Bowl from 1980 and season of 79. I think the Steelers and the Rams square off. And we beat your boys again, so we'll see how it turns out.
Oh, Jesus, you such a homer.
Hey, that
you can't ever have the bad mojo.
Chris,
you can't pick against your boys. Right? Jimmy didn't. I'm not either. So there you go.
I like Pittsburgh. I got to admit, you guys, I do like Pittsburgh. And if anything,
and we got screwed, so let's not forget that we won that game.
And the
other
other pick that someone said, New Orleans, being that it's in the dome, it's a dome team in the dome, that's probably pretty good thinking too. I mean, it's gonna be tough.
Hey, you got the pick.
There's no question.
Let's review this later on.
That's right. We'll come back after the Super Bowl and we'll do this all again and see how we did.
Hey, can I wish you a happy
Jimmy, before
Valentine's
we before you rush off, tell our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing.
Hey, I'm trying to stay out of trouble and talk to good guys like you, because you're a great influence, both you and Bob, on everybody, and I hope everyone tunes in. But if you want some really fun stuff, you just go to Twitter and @Jim_Everett, and we'll hit me up on something. And that'll be good. But other than that, we're just trying to have fun and enjoy life, and it's working.
And Ange, as Jim so eloquently pointed out about the great artwork that you do, let our listeners know if they want to check out your portfolio, how they can follow you online.
Yeah, they just go right to my website. Everything's up there, and it's AngeloCane.com.
There you go. Kane with a C, C-A-N-E, AngeloCane.com. Fellas, thanks. Jim, thanks for getting your boy on the line and bringing him as part of the show. That was fantastic, and it's always great having you as part of the show as well, my friend. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Hey, Chris, Bob, I always travel with my own host, so just know that.
The unique guy.
It's good that you bring your own talent when you come on the show.
Hey, when you're an underachiever, you got to do something. Love you guys. Talk to you.
Later, boys. Jimmy. See you, Edge. That is a great Jim Everett and Angelo Kane, Bob. And, put you on the spot for early with the Super Bowl picks. And, we're certainly subject to change here in the next couple of weeks. But, it's certainly hard to pick against, there's certainly great combinations. And Ange probably isn't as far off as I'd like to think he is with the Saints, because as we talked about earlier with Tony, they've got a great balanced offense. It certainly could be New Orleans in the big game, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Right, there's a lot of parity in the league, and there's a lot of strong teams in the league. It's a shame that Wentz went down with the Eagles, because he was having such a special season, to see what he might have been able to do, for the Eagles offense and then that city and getting the Eagles back into Super Bowl contention. I don't think they're certainly not nearly as good with Foles, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, my friend.
Yeah, the more we talk about the teams left, Chris, it's hard to imagine a blowout game, because there is a lot of parity. And he brought up some good things, the Saints and Vikings, how they can do it certain weeks, and playing in a dome. There's just so many things that can happen. It's one injury, it's one turnover here and there, and might be one of those years, Chris. I don't think there's any clear-cut favorite right now.
All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on this week's Thursday Night Tailgate Spotlight on the positive, hear which players are doing great things in their communities. We'll do that. We'll wrap up the show all on the other side of these words about our friends at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and the Doubleback Winery.